This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com, where the codes FROG1, FROG2, and FROG3 will save you money on hosting, domains, renewals, and more. That's at GoDaddy.com.
Up the airy mountain, down the rushing glen, we dare not go a-hunting for fear of little men. You see, nobody ever goes in. Nobody ever comes out.
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 22, and we are thrilled to be here yet again with another movie we found on Netflix streaming. You can get it in other sources, of course. Excited to talk to you about it. Before I do that, let's introduce everybody. I'm Scott Johnson, of course, joined today by Brian Ibbett.
You know, by my count, during the course of his song, The Candy Store Owner, he says Candyman like 22 times.
He does.
Should this guy worry the next time he goes into a bathroom and flicks an on and off the light or anything like that?
I don't know. The guy's dead, actually. So maybe
well, there
that,
you go. Now we know
happened.
Why.
It may have happened, yeah. Very nice. Also with us, Mr. Randy Jordan.
Hey, Scott. Thanks. You know, I'm giving up smoking, but this little kid keeps encouraging me to keep smoking, and he even gave me his hard-earned money to buy tobacco with.
Yeah, that was a pretty nice gesture, I thought. From
the teeny tiniest piece of tobacco I'd ever seen, either.
It was weird. Those people are weird back then. Oh, and also joining us is Mr. Brian Dunaway.
Who would chop your toes off and eat them like jelly beans? The candy man can. That dude was weird, man, I tell you.
Yeah.
Scrumptious diddlyocious, man. Weird.
There are a lot of references to cannibalism in this film. It's shocking.
Yes.
Brian is, of course, from the South, but when he puts on his heavy South accent, I am in utter bliss during that period of time. I love that.
You mean it's when he drops his normal,
exactly.
his fake non-Southern accent.
Well, if you could pull that out a little more often, Brian, we'd really appreciate it here on FilmSack.
I can do that.
Hey, if you listened right then to what we all said, you might have a hint at what's going on, especially that song. But just in case, and I know there are a few of you out there that are struggling to figure out what the crap we're talking about, Scott Fletcher has something for you.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Eccentric candyman Willy Wonka, played by Gene Wilder, prompts a worldwide frenzy when he announces that golden tickets, hidden inside five of his delicious candy bars, will admit their lucky holders, including Peter Ostrom and Jack Albertson, into his top-secret confectionery. But does Wonka have an agenda hidden amid the world of Oompa Loompas and chocolate rivers? Mel Stewart directs this Oscar-nominated fantasy based on Roald Dahl's award-winning book.
Book. So, I want to know if he had to do any extra takes, because that was a lot of Oompa Loompa talk right there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blown away by what he does. I know
he's
we
amazing.
Say it a lot. We say it a lot on the show, but
I think he rehearses.
It bears repeating. Brian's calling him out. He rehearses. Very nice, Brian. So here we have our movie. This was a childhood classic for me. My family loved this movie. We had it on VHS. That stands for, I just hit the microphone. I got so excited.
Video.
Headset.
Wasn't it home?
Home cassette. Yeah, I think it
video
is.
Home
think
cassette. Well, cassette starts with a C.
I think it's video home system.
All right.
Video home system.
Like digital Boy. Versatile disc. No one ever believes you when you say
that. We're just in here thinking. You know what? We got the internet.
way to be generic with a name. You know, everything we've got could still be called a video home system.
That's true. They should have kept that running. What their problem is. Beta screwed us up. Anyway, so movie directed by Mel Stewart. Not known for a whole lot, but he did direct an episode of Welcome Back, Kotter. So in my book, the guy's all right.
I think I remember that episode.
No, you don't.
I'm kidding. You're right.
That's the one where Horseshack cuts the head off a chicken, right?
That's right. Where that one dude had an afro, but he was white. What was his name?
Washington.
No, not him. He was the black guy. Oh. The white guy.
John Travolta?
No, the other one. They all kind of had afros. I give you that.
Horseshack. You're talking about Horseshack.
No, he did too.
Oh, no, I know. You're talking about the fourth sweat hog that I haven't named yet.
I was the fifth sweat hog.
I don't remember his name, but he was the one that kind of had like the Italian thing going.
Yeah, he was exactly. Yes.
He was the Italian stereotype. Right.
Did you guys Epstein?
There you go, Epstein. Because you had Epstein the Jewish guy, you had the black guy, you had the Epstein Italian guy, and you
Don't call Freddie Boom Boom Washington the black guy. Come on. He's got a name.
Yeah, but I don't remember it.
And Parvis Boom Boom.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with nothing.
Let's not be stereotype him and call him the black guy when his name is Washington.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking? When we run out of movies, we should move to crap TV. That's what I'm saying.
I totally agree. But I don't think we're ever going to have to worry about
a few years in the future. I mean, we could do a whole series on freaking Welcome Back, Kotter. I love that show. But anyway, Mel Stewart. Well,
the segue is that we do the movies that have, or the TV shows that have been put on DVD.
That's true. We should do
the
some
Lost
of that.
Room or
yeah, like the standalone little miniseries things. Those would be
exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
Yeah. As if the name Film Sack wasn't bad enough, when we start doing Tube Sack, it's just gonna be it's gonna be hard to say.
Yeah, I agree with that. So
better go register that domain right now.
The writer, as mentioned by Scott Fletcher, is it's a Ronald Dahl movie, but a Roald. I always say Ronald Roald Dahl, or however you say his crazy
name.
That's
how I say it. Roald Dahl.
He's credited also as the screenplay writer. However, he is reported to hate this movie and doesn't like it. So I don't know what that means, if he really truly had some involvement, or if this is a case of IMDb not knowing what to do, so it says, sure, we'll call him the screenplay writer. I don't know.
Well, he still could have written the screenplay and still hated the movie.
Hmm. Could have been. Now, in this movie, we have Gene Wilder, of course.
Miss him.
Well, he's around. Mm-hmm. He's not dead.
He's totally dead.
No, he's not. He was on NPR yesterday talking about some book he wrote.
Miss him so much.
And this is what he said. Here's my impression. Here's my impression of Gene Wilder. He goes, the interview goes, why aren't you in movies now? Like, what's going on? How come no new nothing? You know, guys in his age range are doing all kinds of crazy independent roles and stuff. And he goes, I don't like films that are $200 million and are more about special effects. Now get off my lawn kind of thing. It was like this really jaded, kind of pissed off actor kind of thing vibe I got from him. Anyway, he says he's entertaining some scripts and stuff, but who knows what that'll lead to.
So like folks, if you want Gene Wilder in your home movie, he is up for that.
Yeah.
Like if they offered him $5 million to do the second Sherlock Holmes film, he'd be, Mr. Ritchie, I don't do movies like that. Right.
Well, maybe he made a bunch. He's still got Blazing Saddle money he's living off of. I don't know. I don't know what.
Well, who cares? I mean, he's 76.
Oh, he's 76? Holy jumping. Yeah. Joseph. Yeah.
I mean, he's 76 with the crap. Money, you can't take it with you. What am I going to do with money? My stupid kids will just keep it.
Hold on to that thought. 76, that means when he made this movie, he was in his late 30s? Yeah. Or early 40s, maybe?
Late 30s.
Holy crapo. That just strikes me as weird. Okay, moving on. There's a bunch of other actors in this thing. Nobody really went on to do much else. The only kid...
Especially the Candyman.
The Candyman did not do much else either. But hardly anybody else in this movie, except the chick, Julie Dawn Cole, who played Veruca Salt.
Choice role in this film.
Yeah, great role. Mm-hmm. But she's the only kid actor that continued acting. The main kid, who in the credits was shown as and introducing Peter Ostrom as Charlie Bucket. That kid went on to be a veterinarian and never acted again. Not one movie.
I can't
blame
him. That's it. I was in that weirdo movie with Gene Wilder. That is not for me.
And then people say, well, who are you? And he says, I'm the kid with the barbed wire haircut that looked like it was pasted on with, horse hair and mud. I mean, he had the worst haircut ever. My wife's sitting here watching this with me going, I can't watch this movie. I said, why? She goes, I can't look at his hair. It was
is
bad.
That your wife's thing?
Yeah, she has a terrible time with like really bad hair in movies.
Turn this off.
And a lot
she
of
couldn't
people,
watch Edward Scissorhands, huh?
Actually, it's a good point. She brought that up in that movie too. I said, honey, that's part of this movie. The point of Edward Scissorhands is all these women have really bad frizzy haircuts, and he's got crazy hair, and it's supposed to be a joke of itself a little bit. Didn't matter. She's like, I don't like the hair. Anyway, I don't know how she stays with me. Have you seen my hair? Good Lord.
She's a Nintley.
A whole bunch of other people who I thought were great. My favorite actor in the entire movie is David Battley, who plays Mr. Turkentine, who is also famous for being in another Film Sack movie, which was Krull.
Krull, yeah. He was the magician.
Yeah, the shapeshifter, right?
Shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
So he's the teacher in this movie that goes on with the whole thing about, well, we're moving our test to Monday, is going to be before you learn the things that's going to be on the test.
He just cracked me up.
Luckily, it's Tuesday.
I thought what he said was just funny, and I don't know. I thought this guy was great, and I swear I've seen him in other stuff. Yes, Randy.
Well, it's because he was channeling Eric Idle. Every scene he was in was a Monty Python sketch that was just shoehorned into this film.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. I feel like that guy should be a Python, and everything he's in, I go, you're just so you just there's something about you that means that you should have been at least an extra in the Holy Grail or something. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't, and I'm wrong.
My favorite actor in the film was Ed Peck. He has this tiny little role as an FBI agent who has to tell a woman that her husband's being held for the ransom of a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
And Ed Peck was that guy in the late 70s and 80s with the deep, professional voice. And he didn't do anything big, but he was in a lot of TV shows and, was constantly being cast as the FBI man who has to deliver two lines.
Well, do you feel was he one of these guys that was like, was barely seen in a movie like this, but ended up having a pretty strong character actor career? I mean, is this a guy I would recognize from something more recent or no?
No. Well, he died in 92.
Oh, well then no, I wouldn't.
But Ed Peck he's just popped up in everything for 20 years.
Wow. All right. Maybe we'll see him in another Film Sack movie. I noticed that I was trying to look up some stuff about the mom. She looked really familiar to me, but there's no reason for her to look that familiar. She was in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory as Mrs. Bucket. She was then in Guarding Tess in 94 as a hairdresser. Bit of a step down. Clear and Present Danger in 94 as cartel maid. So a jump, by the way, from 71 to 94. And then nothing from 94 until 2008, where she played a voice as Old Lady Palmer and a bunch of other like secondary voices in Fallout 3, the video game.
Huh.
Weird. That's freaking weird.
That is a strange career in acting.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, I don't blame people like the kid going on to be a veterinarian. That's fine. Whatever, man.
Right. Well, the grandpa was a pretty prolific actor. I mean, he was Jack Albertson, who was another kind of one of those character actors that you'd see on a bunch of things, but he was also the man on Chico and the Man.
He was?
He was the man.
I didn't know that was the same guy. That's great.
You the man. And I swear I recognized the mother of Mike TV as something. I thought she was in Grease or something as the principal, but I couldn't find any other information about her being. I don't think that's her, but just looking at her.
Yeah, she looks really. She looks super familiar. And I also noticed that the kid. Oh, we're adding a new category, by the way, to our list, our checklist at the end of the show. So I'll save this one tidbit for them. But as the child actors go, I'll just go on the record now and say that my favorite was the TV kid, the Mike TV kid.
Yeah, Mike TV.
I thought he was great. And he didn't go on to do much at all, but he was great. And let's state this
well,
right up front.
Well, he got shrunk in the movie.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, how are you going to...
I actually, you know what? It's kind of funny because when I saw the Tim Burton movie, I thought that that whole scene with the shrinking was made for that movie and didn't exist in the original. And I don't know why I thought that, but I didn't remember it at all. And I remember thinking when I watched the Johnny Depp thing, I'm thinking, oh, did they have to put in this kind of weird modernish idea with the white room and the goggles? And I just thought that was just weird. And don't do that to my story. And then I went back and watched this. That's totally in there.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing. So
the whole thing. You must have went to the bathroom.
I'm a dumbass.
what was up? I thought it was interesting. I haven't read the book. Probably since I was a kid, but I don't ever remember the characters naming any couple that was in the movie.
they had the first name of a male gender and then a gender changer of that one. Like
that was a Roald Dahl thing. That was that wasn't just in this book, but in several of his books.
I am completely confused by what you just described.
Well, like I'm sorry. Yeah, it was confusing.
Like Uncle Joe,
Grandpa Joe was married to Grandma Josephine.
Gotcha. Grandpa George was married to Grandpa Georgina, and so on. That's a Roald Dahl staple.
Is it also a staple of Roald Dahl to have old people laying in a bed and just freaking me out for 10 minutes? That stuff freaks
that
me out.
Disgusting, especially with the bedpans.
That freaked me out when I was a kid. It
freaks
me out
today.
Hand
me my slippers. I'm not going in that bed, Grandpa. There's like four bedpans right there. No way.
The hair was the least of this kid's problem. One of the issues I had going into this movie was knowing that I loved this movie so much as a kid that it would probably hold up okay. And that I wouldn't have much to have a problem with, and that's exactly kind of what happened with me. I it's really hard for me to find much fault in this film. I think it's a blast to watch again. I can't wait to get my kids to watch it. I don't think they've seen it, which is a crime that we haven't shown the kids this movie before. And I just think it's just a blast. Let's go around the table and just kind of see how it held up for people. So, Ibbot, did you walk away from this viewing thinking, ugh, that didn't do well, or you still kind of have the fondness?
I love this movie, and Tristan loves this movie. Tina loves this movie too, but yeah, we need to mention her. But we probably watch this thing at least once every year, maybe every 18 months or something. So, you know, from my childhood on, I've probably seen this movie, you know, maybe 30 times. I just it's a blast. And like you said, it's very hard for me to find fault with it. And actually what I noticed this time is that I picked up on a lot of little things in the background, little things that I didn't notice before. Like there's a scene where, you know, we all know Slugworth appears with all of the different kids as they discover their tickets. And he actually he's the guy holding the microphone interviewing Mike TV, and he swings the microphone around and then points the microphone at Mike TV's gun when Mike is shooting the gun, and he flips it around. It's just things like that that
can I just say right now, every time a kid finds a ticket, this really creepy Scarface guy shows up and whispers something in their ear. Does this not freak you out as a parent? Like even if you were just a nearby adult and not the parent, if you're escorting this child through a media frenzy and this creepy Scarface guy starts whispering in her ear, wouldn't you do something?
I mean, even if I was Mrs. Augustus sitting there pounding freaking fish down my throat, I would stop what I'm doing and saying, what is this man who is doing it to you?
Who is the Scarface man?
Yeah, I would stop and say, this is my child. But I think that's the point of most of Dahl's work, is that adults are stupid. Like, I think he really plays that up. And it was, you know, Fantastic Mr. Fox was a great example of this. Everything I've seen with his name on it.
With the exception of Grandpa. Grandpa is always the smart, clever one. And the golden standard of that is in Where the Red Fern Grows. Wait, that's not Roald Dahl. Never mind.
But wait, that guy's in that, though. Where the Red Fern Grows, right?
No way.
Is
really?
He? I think he is. I want to say
Albinson?
He is. Is he? No, I'm wrong. Damn it.
The guy who wrote Redfern is named Wilson Rawls, which sounds a lot like Roald Dahl, so I have to be forgiven.
All right. Well, I have to be forgiven for really honestly thinking I remember seeing that guy in it. But there's something about that guy that permeated a lot of my childhood movies. I'm pretty sure he was in almost everything I ever saw. Like, if you ask me, who was the old guy in... what's the Rock just remade it? Something Witch Mountain.
Escape from Witch Mountain.
Yeah, I loved that as a kid. And if you asked me, if pointed a gun to my head and said, true or false, Grandpa Joe was in that movie, I would say true.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's not.
So no, it was Darth Sidious was in that one.
was he?
Christopher Lee, yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Darth Sidious, wait. Darth Sidious.
Oh, no, not Darth Sidious. Darth...
what was his stupid name in Star Wars?
What was his Darth name?
I don't know. He had the bendy lightsaber.
Yes, exactly.
Which says
that says a lot about a man. That's all I'm saying. Okay, moving
on. Surgery to fix that, by the way.
Peter Ostrom, who plays Charlie Bucket, mentioned he did no other films. He later became this veterinarian. In fact, all the Wonka kids, Julie, Don Colby, and the only one, did not do anything else in acting. The final Oompa Loompa song took a total of 50 takes. A little trivia there for you. 50 freaking takes.
Wait, the final, tell that to your WoW rating team.
Yeah, the final group of Oompa Loompas doing their final bit with the crazy titles on screen and all that stuff, that took 50 takes.
Well, that was the TV one where they had to like cross the floor and they're bumping into each other. Count Dooku, by the way, but crossing the floor and not bumping into each other. And as soon as I start thinking about something else, I can remember anything.
I know, isn't that weird? It's like your brain lets go. It's like, Count Dooku, Count Dooku, Count Dooku.
Exactly.
Well, let's remember that as we go on, because I'm sure we'll forget something else.
Right.
Originally, there was a lot of talk about hiring one of the original Doctor Who's, John Pertwee.
Doctor Whom.
Doctor Whom, sorry. And let's see, all six members of Monty Python, Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Eric Idle, Terry Gilliam, Terry Jones, and Michael Palin, were all showing interest. They had expressed interest, and the director had shown interest in at least a few of them, but they were deemed not big enough names for an international audience, which is why they went with what's-his-name. Cleese, Idle, and Palin, I guess, were seriously considered in 2005 for the remake. Like, I guess Tim Burton was really close on hiring Palin specifically.
As the Willy Idle, Wonka excuse me, character, Idle, yeah. As one of the parents.
As Eric Idle is what I meant to say. No, as Wonka. Like, not Wonka. Donnie, not Johnny really? Depp, but get one of these old British dudes to do it. And my guess is they didn't.
Too bad he didn't.
Yeah, but you know what? Those guys are in their, like, 70s and 80s. So wouldn't that have been a little bit weird to have those guys be that old in this movie?
No, more believable than Johnny Depp. Yeah. More believable that one of these guys is getting ready to retire, and he's looking for a kid to replace him, or a kid to take over the factory.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the perfect spot to tell my story about my buddy's 6-year-old who loved Pirates of the Caribbean.
Do it.
Just, you know, 6 years old, his name is Justin, and he had seen the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie way too many times for a 6-year-old. So he loves this thing, right? And the new Johnny Depp Willy Wonka movie comes out, and on DVD, and the kid's not seen it yet. And so, like, we all go over to watch this movie on DVD with this 6-year-old, and the movie's completely over. And his father turns to him and says, "So what did you think of Willy Wonka?" And he goes, "I really like the movie, but I don't know why they got a girl to play Willy Wonka."
So they didn't even recognize him for who
it's
he
totally
was.
Natalie Merchant from 10,000 Maniacs.
Yeah.
Put the two side by side, Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka and Natalie Merchant. You can't distinguish the
it's
two.
It's a strange affectation, isn't it? It's like a weird choice to play him that way. I don't understand it exactly, because I don't know that he needed to be so
effeminate. Or,
not even effeminate, just kind of like mentally challenged child constantly being tickled. Or I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's trying to play an eccentricity, but not quite. Yeah. Capturing it.
Yeah.
I called his portrayal of Captain Jack Sparrow swishbuckling. And I would call this swishbuckling without the alcohol.
Oh man. Like
stone cold sober swish.
Interesting. Well, if that's how it is, I'd like to see him drunk more often. I really liked him in 21 Jump Street. Let's just end that conversation right there. Okay, what else? Blah, blah, blah. All right, well, let's start with some clips. We got some stuff to play, and plenty of them, actually. We got one that is the creepy singing Candyman guy, and you can't do a show without that. Here it is.
Wonka's got a new one today.
What is it?
This is called a scrumdiddlyumptious bar.
Scrumdiddlyumptious bar? How does he do it?
My dear boy, do you ask a fish how it swims?
No.
Or a bird how it flies?
No.
No, sir, you don't. They do it because they were born to do it. Just like Willy Wonka was born to be a candy man, and you look like you were born to be a Wonkerer. Who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it in chocolate and a miracle or two? The candy man. The candy man can.
I like that.
That scene was weird.
It's a little creepy, all right? I'm just saying, back in the day, some dude, I don't know, there's something a little bit creepy about it. Also, that one kid said scrumdiddlyumptious wrong, and I think that it's because they did 50 takes, and he still couldn't do it, so they just said, screw fine, it. Just do the best one.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Sure.
But I thought it was funny that he was, the candy man was running around the store throwing out the candy to everybody, giving everybody candy for free. Nobody's spending anything. And poor Charlie Bucket, our hero, is outside and looking in going, oh, I can't have any candy. And I'm like, what's up? Just go inside. He's giving the candy away.
Well, yeah, it was implied that nobody was paying for anything, but maybe they were. And also, when he did finally get that money for the chocolate bar, the guy's happy as can be. Candyman can, scrumdiddlyumptious, and then he needs his money. So he's leaning on the counter going, yeah, he's clearing his throat, dude. He's kind of a douche.
What you guys were giving, you don't like me, do you?
It's your hair, kid. Give me your money. It's your freaking hair. Don't get your candy in your hair. All right. Candyman is creepy. Let's meet Grandpa and their attempt to get him out of bed.
As soon as I get my strength back, I'm going to get out of this bed and help him.
Dad, in all the years you've been saying you're going to get out of that bed, I've yet to see you set foot on the floor.
Well, maybe if the floor wasn't so cold.
Hi, everybody.
Wake up. Wake up. Charlie's home.
Wake up, you old bags. Charlie's freaking home. So
only one with a speaking part.
So what's, can we just for just a second address the old people just for a second? Now I understand this idea that family takes care of their own, right? Yeah. So if both sets of grandparents are dying or sick or whatever, you should do all you can. And if you're poor, well, the best you can do maybe is one bed in the middle of a room with them crisscross laying there.
Right.
That's which all fine.
Disgusting.
Yeah. But, but I, were they all that sick that he hadn't touched the floor since whatever? Like, it's because of the floor? Was, I mean, what, are they all pooping where they lay or what?
He was faking it. Everybody else was sick. He was faking it.
Well, okay. I know movies don't get into this, but all I could think of is all these old people are just shatting their own bed with their freaking bedpans, and poor Charlie and his mother are busy shuttling back and forth, bringing them whatever, eating cabbage water.
Yeah, which, you know, if you want to keep somebody from crapping the bed constantly, you don't want to give them cabbage water. Here's some lentil soup and
Here's a diuretic. Enjoy that.
Here's an enchilada. Knock yourself out.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I don't know. I
felt dirty after that scene. Well, I felt dirty after the Candyman scene, and then I felt even more dirty after the old people in the bed scene.
Yeah. And why would you feel dirty? Just because everybody was just so gross?
I was like, oh, God, they've been in there and they're in there for 20 years and it's like, ew, they're like all touching each other and bleh.
And yeah, and they get Grandpa out of bed eventually and he's not wearing.
Why did you assume they've been in there for years? Like, how about they just stay in bed during the day because it's cold outside during the winter?
You hadn't touched the floor in 20 years.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Grandpa Joe said he hadn't touched the floor in years.
Yeah.
So, bedridden for 20 years.
Yeah. And if that's the case, the other guy who reportedly, according to the trivia, the Grandpa George, who hardly said a word, he was blind, apparently, the actor, to the point that
he was blind.
He could only see really bright light, like a laser point. So according to the trivia, they had somebody out just outside of the scene holding a board with a laser point on it so he would turn the right way when stuff would happen. And I thought to myself, well, why do you even need to do that? The most this guy's doing is Charlie's kissing him on his flaky old head, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So
what, you're afraid that the old guy who's blind is going to have a hard time playing an old guy?
Yeah, an old blind guy?
Just be yourself.
His glasses were... Yeah, but Coke bottles, you know what I'm talking about?
Big. He even needed those, I guess. But anyway, that whole scene creeped me out. It was weird. Here's a clip of Mr. Turkentine, my favorite character in the movie.
Charlie Bucket.
Yes, Mr. Turkentine.
I shall need an assistant. Come and give me a hand. We have here nitric acid, glycerine, and a special mixture of my own. Together, it's horrible, dangerous stuff blows you up. But mixed together in the right way, as only I know how, what do you think it makes?
I don't know, sir.
Of course you don't know. You don't know because only I know. If you knew and I didn't know, then you'd be teaching me instead of me teaching you. And for a student to teach his teacher, it's presumptuous and rude. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir.
Good.
All right. Much younger than he was in Kroll, by the way.
Yes.
By about 15 years younger. But again,
Mr. Bucket.
Eric's right. Randy's right. He sounds like Eric Idle.
See, now you start crossing the names all over the shows.
No, not Eric, bad Eric. I meant Eric Idle. I mixed him up. But yeah, he sounds like an Eric Idle ripoff. And Just listening to it makes me want to watch him again. I really like the guy, and I think he's underrated. What else here? Oh, we got a clip. It's called Shut Up Hofstetter, and I don't remember what it is.
Oh, the mystery clip.
Yeah, mystery clip of the week. Here it is.
I'm still having these dreams, Doctor, and I still can't stop myself from believing them.
I've told you, Mr. Hofstetter, to believe in one's dreams is a manifestation of insanity, and the sooner you accept this, the sooner you'll get well.
But I dreamed the Archangel appeared and whispered into my ear and told me where to find a golden Wonka ticket.
And what exactly did he say?
Well, what difference does that make? This was a dream, a fantasy. I mean, you said just
Shut up, Hofstetter, and tell me where the ticket is.
I loved all those little segues, too.
The vignettes?
These are a bunch of vignettes that are set completely outside of the main path of the film.
Yeah.
And it's really odd. It makes you wonder if they did more of them and picked the best ones, and then for a couple of them, was this really the best you could do? But really strange. You don't see filmmaking like this that jumps around so quickly.
Yeah, it's rare. It's I thought pretty effective, though. Like, some of those jokes held up really well for me. I'm trying to think of one that was specific that I really liked. I think it was maybe the reporter inside of that the German restaurant. And he's standing there the whole time with the deer horns on the wall behind him.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Just all that was really subtly handled and felt kind of fresh. Didn't feel like too in your face, but the editing also kind of lended itself to quick cuts and stuff that made some of that stuff a little funnier. You know, the wife whose husband is, you were talking about the FBI guy and all that. I thought that whole bit was pretty funny. It was clever.
Mm-hmm. The computer programmer.
Yeah. The programmer was pretty funny, although... What the hell was that machine that he was playing with?
I think the best of the vignettes is the one that's the most throwaway. And I'm wondering if Brian Dunaway saw this. It was the one in the auction house in England where they're allegedly auctioning off the last known box of Wonka chocolates. And it ends with the joke that the auctioneer has just spotted the queen showing up at his auction.
Yeah. What did he say? Oh, Your Highness, or
Your Majesty, or
Oh, speaking of Majesty, Brian's gone again.
Oh, gosh. I set him up even.
I know you had him all good.
So you mean that vignette in the auction house? Because I didn't hear all of that.
All right, but listeners at home won't know is we lost Brian for a while, like for about 20 minutes, and we had to figure out his Skype issues and get him all hooked up again, and then he came right back in and wanted to like pick it up where we left it off. That was brilliant.
Yeah,
that made it so much funnier when you know what happened.
Which specific vignette were you talking about, Randy?
They cut to they're cutting around to these different scenes, and they cut to this auctioneer in an English auction house, and he's about to try to sell off the last box of Wonka chocolates in Great Britain, and it ends with that classic joke where the camera has zoomed up to his his body. And you just see the look on his face as he realizes that someone has walked into the room in the back. And it's one of those things that, I don't know, it reminded me of you. I thought that's a scene that Brian Dunaway would love.
That's what he would do. And actually, I did love that scene.
Oh, did you? Well, see, we were right. So 25 minutes later, the truth comes out.
It was totally worth it.
Yeah, that was all worth it. No question about it.
I concur.
I concur, sir. Let's play another clip. We got one for something here. Oh, Veruca Salt freaking out. She was great in this movie. And
she was, yeah.
Not the band.
Child angry acting.
Oh, before we do that, Ibbot, can you confirm or deny that band did indeed name its name after this character? Yes.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, yeah. Okay. Veruca Salt is named after the character.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. When I first heard that band name, I always assumed it was spelled V-E-R and then the word assault. I didn't make Veruca that connection.
Assault.
Yeah, Veruca Assault. Sounds like a video game. Veruca Assault 2. All right, let's play that clip. Here it is.
I've got every girl on the bleeding staff hunting for you.
All right, where is it? Why haven't they found it?
Veruca, sweetheart, I'm not a magician. Give me time.
I want it now. What's the matter with those twerps down there?
For 5 days now, the entire flipping factory's been on the job. They haven't shelled a peanut in there since Monday. They've been shelling flaming chocolate bars from dawn to dusk.
Make them work nights.
All right, I love that exchange. I love that girl. I love her dad. I love British people yelling.
Yeah. He said flipping, but you know what he really wants.
He said bleeding.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Flooping.
This is one of those movies where they were definitely a family fair, but occasionally you would go, ugh, that was freaky. Yeah. You're going to cut chickens' heads off in the middle of the freaking boat ride and freak me out or what?
Dude, that was weird. Yeah. I was like right in the middle of it. I'm like, how did they get away with that?
Yeah, that stuff, dude.
Wow. Well, there's even that guy, and I never remember him until he appears on screen, but he's there when Charlie is peeking in the gates of the Wonka factory near the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the knife salesman?
Yeah, he's got a freaking shopping cart with an IV and butcher knives hanging from it.
What was that all about?
Well, the kid called him a tinker, and I tried to hunt around and find out what a tinker is, and I couldn't find anything on that, Randy. Yeah.
It's also kind of like a bike ice cream truck.
Yeah.
It was weird. It freaked me out.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the crap that was all about.
You usually see the tinker when you see the tailor and the, what is it? The tinker, the tailor, and the...
Candlestick maker.
Candlestick maker, yes. Thank you.
I think the baker's in there somewhere, too. So we'll take a minute here between clips to mention this. If you want to be truly freaked out, this freaked me out. Just to realize that every kid in this movie, every one of them, is in their late 50s.
Yeah.
They are in their late 50s now. When they were in this movie, they were literally kids, barely pubescent in some cases, prepubescent in most, and they're in their late 50s. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was 2 years old, so maybe that's weird too, but ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I was a year and a half old. Don't want to age myself too much.
Weird.
How weird. Let's play a clip again. We got one about the dirty river. I like this scene.
What a disgusting dirty river.
It's industrial waste, that. You've ruined your watershed, Wonka. It's polluted.
It's chocolate.
That's chocolate.
That's chocolate.
A chocolate river.
That's the most fantastic thing I've ever seen.
10,000 gallons an hour. And look at my waterfall.
I just love all that stuff.
I was expecting the fat kid to already be over there eating it.
Yeah. Oh, it's chocolate?
I like the play-like sort of atmosphere of this movie. Like, I feel like this could be a stage play, and all the way through, it's that kind of acting, that kind of back and forth. And I cannot say enough about, in his prime, Gene Wilder. Just he said so much more than other comedic actors of his day with just a look in his
eyes. Totally, absolutely.
Like, he was constantly in this movie in particular. Where we say that Johnny Depp failed, I feel like this is where Gene Wilder succeeded. There was always something a little bit weird and off and sinister about him, just underneath it all.
Mm-hmm.
Something super cynical. But on the outside, he was also, you know, joyous and fantastic. And he could pull off that bridge and freak me out on that boat. Completely freak me out on that boat. and he did it in such a way that I think he has few peers that equal him, in my opinion. I think he's amazing.
His delivery in this movie is just fantastic. And the best line in the movie for me is Veruca's father saying, "What is this, some kind of fun house?" And he replies, "Why, having fun?"
Oh, that's
and it's just like
line.
The best delivery. And,
yeah.
And
every time a kid would go do something stupid, he'd do that thing where he'd go, "No, please, wait, stop."
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I just thought he was great. So if you ask me, could Eric Idle or one of those guys been great? Probably. But I feel like he made this his own and in a way ruined any sort of remake's capability of improving on the original. Because everything else about the remake is kind of fun and cool. And, you know, it's very Tim Burton-y. But that movie didn't have the soul that this had.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Gene Wilder's responsible for that.
And my kids noticed that, too.
Did they? What did they say? I'm curious about that. Hello, Brian.
Well, they say that, you know, they like the original one. I'm trying to do my Brian Dunaway.
This is a terrible.
I know.
Terrible Brian Dunaway. Oh, we lost him. Gosh, dang it. Okay, so Brian, you were saying?
So my kids love this movie way more. They seen the more recent one first, and they had never seen this until we watched for FilmSack this movie on Netflix. And the kids just love this when they said it was absolutely way better.
Oh, wow. So
I was seeing
the newer one first, that's telling right there. Because, you know, I thought a lot of why I liked the original better was because of nostalgia. But that's huge.
Yeah.
And Brian, are you saying that the musical interludes didn't turn them off either?
No, they actually even said, "This is a musical?" And I was like, yeah. It's like, okay.
But it's a good, it's a musical in the vein of good musicals. Like I don't feel weird about it. I don't think my kids will either. I think they'll dig it. It feels very appropriate in a movie like this. And there's also that Disney 70s thing where the singing is on a different soundtrack than the talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely tell it. You knew this when the sing was about to start because all of a sudden the vocals changed.
Yeah, like the guy's in a closed-in studio room suddenly, not out in the middle of a stream or whatever, river of chocolate. Yeah.
That said, I still tune out every time "Cheer Up, Charlie" is on. That just that song for me just does not belong in this movie.
Charlie, yeah, that was a weird song, and it didn't. What was it about?
It was about him being all depressed and not getting his wishes.
Me and Grandpa Joe are the only ones that can make you smile, or something like that. And I was like, what about the rest of grandparents?
Might as well just bring in Kevorkian on that one. No doubt.
I would guess that song and some of the other music are some of the reasons why Roald Dahl didn't like the film.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Yeah, no, you, Brian, you said you read the book, right?
When I was a kid.
Randy, I'm guessing...
Many times. I've seen the movie 3 times now. I've read the book 30.
Now, does the book focus as much on Charlie as this movie does, or is it more on Willy Wonka? Like, that's the thing that I noticed between this and the Tim Burton remake is that, ironically, the one called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is more about Charlie, and the one called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory focuses more on Willy Wonka's history. But where does the book fall in that range?
Well, you know, the only reason given that this film was called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is because of the Vietnam War going on at the time, and the connotation for the name Charlie would have been odd.
Oh, you think about that. That's like when they changed Bruce Banner to David Banner because everyone thought Bruce was a gay name. It's true, man. That stuff is right. The 70s is bad that way. But anyway, go ahead.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Seriously, step off.
Anyway. Okay, so... this movie actually, I feel like it kind of achieves the same balance as the book does, much better than the Tim Burton film. This movie has the balance of it's about Charlie, it's from Charlie's perspective. I don't remember the book really having much that Charlie doesn't see.
Yeah,
you know, so it's very first person-y. But you know, the movie has to take the Willy Wonka character into places that the book never does, and so there, you know, that's, there's a lot more, I don't know, there's a lot more shots of Willy Wonka in the movie than shots you might draw as you're reading the book.
I liked this movie better than I do the book.
I didn't need to know all that backstory about Willy Wonka and his dad in the teeth,
the whole
and
dentist
all that.
Thing and,
I didn't need
yeah.
I didn't need that.
Hey, that's Count Dooku right there.
Yeah. That is kind of, oh, look at that. There's the connection. Oh, holy
there's
cow.
There's a Star Wars connection anyway. Yeah. We're doing a Tim Burton movie next week too, so we got connections all over the place. We're leaking connections on these movies. Let's do our last clip. This is the boat freakout scene I keep referring to. I caught a little bit of this. That's great. And this is, in my opinion, why Gene Wilder is awesome. He gets this loud kind of weird voice.
Yeah.
He does it in a lot of movies. I love it.
Is a hurricane a-blowing? Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
love the scream at the end too.
That's great. I love it. I wanted to start talking about the monster on the stage, and it's alive. It's alive. It's totally the young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes me want to see that movie.
This is the scene where we have to start talking about whether or not for children this film is about going to heaven and about Satan tempting you.
Is that the allegory? I didn't realize that.
You know what I'm saying? Because this is the scene. This is the scene where, so this is like, they call it the hell tunnel scene. You know, it's very, very odd. It doesn't quite, it's another one of those things. I say, I wonder if Roald Dahl hung his, you know, took his hat off the hook on this one because, oh my gosh.
Well, they showed a chicken getting its head cut off in that scene. They showed all kinds of weird
stuff. A guy with a millipede on his face.
Yeah, what? Dude, yeah, a guy with his millipede on his face is enough to make me, an adult male, have bad dreams. That's horrible. But I loved it. That was great.
Now, Randy, the way I always interpret it is that I was trying to figure this out last night when I was watching this, but are the kids supposed to represent the deadly, at least four or five of the deadly sins? Like Augustus is obviously gluttony. Veruca Salt is definitely greed. I don't know.
Obsession. Sloth? What's the?
Oh, is there
sloth? I would say sloth. Yeah.
Sloth, maybe
well,
sloth. He's
really
a pretty
sloth.
Active kid. I think the two grandparents that never did anything should be sloth. But anyway.
All right, but yeah. Collectively they represent the other ones like pride. They all, you know.
Yeah.
You probably count the parents in that too, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it's, you know, the way you can't help but interpret is that the inside of this, you know, hidden wondrous place is like heaven to a child. And, you know, and Willy Wonka is like, the, you know, the devil showing you all the things that would tempt you away from the right path. And of course they all fall to temptation because they are the embodiment of their individual sin.
Well, you can take this to the next logical conclusion that all movies have some derivative Judeo-Christian sort of basis story, because that's so relatable and so down through the generations. It's almost organic now that if you see Star Wars, that thing's full of that stuff. If you see, I don't know, 100 other movies I could name, they all kind of have these things that you can pull out of it and connect. And in some cases, like the TV show Lost, they're totally going down that road, man. Oh,
steeped in it.
Big time.
Well, yeah. All the way to the point where Jacob is basically, I tweeted about this yesterday, Jacob is basically Willy Wonka looking for the next person to run his island.
Right.
You've
nailed
see,
it.
All right, who are the bad kids? Who are the good kids? Okay. You know, Jack Shepherd, you're going to be my Charlie Bucket. You get to run the island when I retire.
They shouldn't have killed off Charlie. It would have even been better.
There and Slugworth is the man in black.
Yeah, so that's funny. Anyway, I, you know, all that aside, it's something about this movie just rings for me. I loved watching it. I can't wait to watch it with the kids. I'm ready to do it again, like right now. I can't say that about any of the other Film Sack movies we've done, except maybe one or two. But for the most part, I'm really not that interested in a rewatch. This I totally am. So this may be a first. It's a first for me on this show for me to take a movie like this and enjoy it the way I did.
My other question is, did anyone else think of Harry Potter a lot while watching this film again?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it has those same kind of things, right? You got, I mean, in this case, you had at least a parent alive, but that's also a really common trope where you've got, you know, the mom.
Poor kid, lives in a shack, doesn't know much about the real world.
Sure, but you can do the whole
grandparents on a bed.
You can do the whole Jesus thing too. There, you could say, oh well, you know, it's, you know, you grow up as a carpenter, your carpenter's son, but he's not really your dad, and the mom's kind of no one's got any money, and you know, so there's all those connections as well. But there's definitely a Harry Potter vibe happening throughout this movie, and it's not lost on me that that's probably part of the appeal, like part of me likes it for that, because I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. I can watch that stuff all day.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, good stuff there. Let's do our Film Sack checklist. Did anyone barf? No. But didn't the one kid kind of get all
well?
Like he was.
She got squeezed. She got juiced.
She got juiced.
Yeah. Let's just change.
It was off screen, but yeah, she got juiced.
We'll change our list. Did anyone get juiced from now on? Was there any boobs? No, none.
No, not even.
Thank you.
Not even close. I don't know that one boat scene. There was a lot of stuff flashing. I can't be
there's
sure.
There's a crazy shot where Willy Wonka is greeting the kids as they come through the gate. And it looks like he reaches out and fondles one Veruca Salt.
Yeah. Really? I saw that too. I was kind of like,
really?
It felt uncomfortable where he was touching her at. It didn't feel comfortable.
He was complimenting her coat, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But he was touching her with the palm of his hand. And it was almost as like,
meep, meep.
Don't do that. Yeah, meep, meep.
All right, we're going to count that one then. I count that as a booby.
That's it's just so wrong.
That's pretty terrible. All right,
I feel uncomfortable with that scene though too, Randy. I know what you're talking about.
Now the stereotypes, you could say each one of the kids is a kid stereotype, but I went a little deeper and said the Oompa Loompas were a stereotype of midgets.
Oh, jeez. Why? Because they're small?
Because they were actual midgets, I guess. I don't know. these are my favorite Oompa Loompas. They're my favorite because they're weird.
Yeah. They are weird. And I'm like, I was thinking, what a wanker Charlie Wonka is. Or Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka's a wanker because he basically knew those guys didn't have no place to live, so he made them come work in a stupid candy factory.
Yeah.
Jerk.
And with that the horrible whistle and
I'll save you from the vernicious knids, but by golly, you're gonna work 24 hours a day.
Yeah. The little guys creep me out. I like
child labor laws.
They remind me of one of my favorite Futurama episodes ever, where they were riffing on this for the Slurm episode. Oh, love that one.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So funny. Black guy dies first. Nope, German guy did. Well, I'm kidding. there were no black people to speak of. There were
save
orange
some
people.
For the factory, Augustus.
decapitation, almost in the bubble room, but not quite.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite new addition to the list, the Star Trek connection. The Mike TV kid was on an episode of Voyager.
Oh, really?
So, oh.
There you go.
Did he still have that lisp?
No, but I loved his lisp.
And remember I brought up Ed Peck. He was on an episode in the original series.
Yeah, see, I'm 100% sure that there are multiple crossover Star Trek things in every movie we're going to see. And so we may pick out one or two, but there's always some. So this is an easy one for us. Someone peeing. You didn't see it, but according to the filmmakers, the German kid peed in the chocolate river.
Nice. Really?
I'm just kidding. I mean,
that explains all the foam when he falls in.
Oh,
yeah.
That was just, they could have done a better job of that. Even in 1970, they could have done a better job of that river. It was not that great looking.
That looked terrible. Wilhelm scream. Not that I remember hearing. So maybe not. Bad guy with a theme or song. Nope. The Kenobi type. Probably grandpa.
Oh, totally.
Except he was a little goofy. Like he was goofy Obi-Wan Kenobi before he got serious. Kind of like Yoda.
I'd even go so far as to say Willy Wonka is the Obi-Wan character. Kind of grooming the next.
That's fair.
I don't agree with that because of the scene near the end where he freaks out. He reads the contract really loudly and screams at Charlie and Grandpa. Like,
yeah, but it was a test.
Right, but Obi-Wan would never do that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but when he sees sand people, they go, ooh, goo, 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 and scare him off.
That's right. That's true. You're right. Okay, you got me.
All right.
Yes. If you strike me down, good day, sir.
Good day. I said good day.
I said good day.
Animal or robot is comedy relief. Oompa Loompa is probably as close as we're going to get there.
Yeah. I didn't laugh at that. That was not funny.
Yeah, it was never funny. It was always, you were always worried about the midget labor laws the whole time you watched it.
I couldn't get away from it.
Kid named Billy, Bobby, Peter, or Buddy? Well, we had Charlie.
Charlie, yeah. And also, there were others, like Mike TV, that E-sounding ending.
Mm-hmm. I like that kid. He's the video game kid in the remake, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That, wow. By the way, I will say, that's a perfect update. Like, of all the things they got wrong in the update, and there were plenty, that kid being a video game nerd, and that's all he wants to do, is the perfect analog to the kid in the 70s who can't get enough of TV.
And it's absolutely relatable, you know, for parents these days to be able to say, see, look at that kid. Look what happens to him.
I do not mind changes like that. I think that stuff's fine.
This was a cautionary tale.
Yeah. cave that looks like a vagina. I think the boat riding thing is as close as we're gonna
have. There were a couple of them in the factory.
Yeah. You always have two. Any factory worth its own salt. Salt? Veruca Salt.
Salt, yeah.
Looks like a vagina. Anyway, let's move on to our Twitter post. This is where the three of you get to tell me in a summed up 140 character or less Twitter post what you thought of this movie or how you would sum it up. Let's start this time with Brian Dunaway.
Oh, of course. Hey, how's it going?
Got you off guard, didn't I?
Well, I lost my notes while ago when we closed.
Oh, no.
But anyway, Twitter post. Yeah, my kids like this better than the Johnny Depp one. And I can't say I blame them.
All right. Fair.
Period.
I should have said up front, I'm kind of a fan of the Johnny Depp one, even though I don't think Johnny Depp's that great in it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, I like about, 50 or 60% of the Johnny Depp one better than that. Well, maybe not. I wouldn't say majority. But there are some things I really, really like about the Johnny Depp one.
I feel like it not being a musical hurts it.
I think it visually looks beautiful. It's
amazing.
Great look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. That Veruca Salt is hot. Actually, are all the kids English? Were the kids British in this one? The Veruca Salt chick or not in the new
one? It's all over the map.
It is.
Yeah.
It's hard to place on any of the characters. You know, like they'll be one person speaking and they sound a little bit English, and then the next person speaks and they sound like an Englishman pretending to be an American, and it just, yeah, I don't know, weird. It's just confusing.
It's weird. I will say this. Grandpa Joe in the new one is the Here's Your Monty Python connection again. He was in an episode of a couple of episodes of Fawlty Towers with John Cleese as a repairman. So the guy in the 2005 Grandpa thing was a dude in that show. And
all right.
I don't know why I'm sharing that. Do what you want with it. Let's move now to Brian Ibbett, I guess. Brian to Brian.
I would say Gene Wilder's best role. We miss him, but he's not dead. Oh,
thank Brian for that one. That's so funny. Brian, did you really think he was dead?
I'm telling you, he's dead.
He's not dead.
I thought he was dead, too.
Did you really?
Yeah, but it was Gilda Radner that died, not Gene Wilder.
Yeah, if I'd not heard him the other day, I may have, you know, taking a double take at the death, because it maybe, you know, it seems like he's one of those guys that should have died already. And I don't mean he should die. I just mean it seems like we should have heard about this before, but no, he's still kicking.
Well, when in doubt, always go to deadornot.com. I think it is.
Yeah. He just wrote a new book about sex. So enjoy
what?
That. Yeah, for real.
Gene Wilder did?
Yeah. That's what he was promoting on this NPR thing. So good luck with that. Where the hell was I? Oh, and Randy Jordan, sum it up, sir.
All right, so I'm counting the characters here. Willy Wonka movie, watch the one with the man as Willy Wonka. Okay.
It's like he's counting the letters.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
Well, this is the problem with this movie is I stepped out for a little bit just to pee, and here's what I missed. I missed, do German families really dress up like Oktoberfest people? I don't believe that they do, but this movie thought they did. Pushing the top, the top and bottom buttons of your computers will eventually lead to something.
And only those two buttons.
Only those two buttons. I think American news guys are stoned in this film. They seem just really weird and out of place.
Oh, yeah. It was like an Adam West impersonation on that guy.
Totally. Totally.
Another ticket has been found.
I would have preferred it being Adam West. Burping is your best way out of a horrible situation is the number one thing I learned.
Totally agree with that.
No clip from Scott Fletcher, because at the time of the recording of these particular clips, he was suffering from a terrible, terrible cold.
Mm.
So we're going to let him off for a couple of weeks and he'll be okay. We'll be right back with those soon enough. Hey, if you want to follow what we're doing on this show, visit us on the website. It's at filmsack.com. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. Give us your feedback, your thoughts, your movie recommendations and such. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/filmsack. And review us on iTunes. We love your reviews there. Please go to iTunes. Leave us some reviews. We'd love those. That would be great. Filmsack is ever growing, and it's because of you guys. So we really want to thank you, the listener. Next week's movie is Beetlejuice by the famed Tim Burton. And we'll tell you.
What was it again?
Beetlejuice.
Ooh, one more time.
Candyman.
Boy, and the Candyman.
So we will talk about that movie next week. Totally looking forward to that. Until then, for me, for Randy, for Brian, and for Willy Wonka himself, thank you so much. Gene Wilder is not dead, and we'll see you then. What did you call them? What?
Jack and Apes.
Jack and Apes?
Yeah, the whole lot of them. Bunch of Jack and Apes.
What voice is that? There's something familiar about that voice you're doing.
I don't know. I think it might be the Charlie in the Box from
Reindeer. Yeah, that's it. Charlie in the Box.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the Box. Bibbit.
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 Yes.
Ha ha ha. Okay. Let's go. I'm really sleepy.
That was the worst orgasm sound ever.
I'm probably sleepy now. Fuck all of my energy away.
Wake up, you old bags. Charlie's freaking home.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.